Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Let me get our hearts ready today as we prepare number 30, up 30 weekends left. This is our 30th weekend. Next week will be 29 left. And that 30th weekend will be on July 30th, that weekend of, because July 30th is my birthday. Write that down. You don't have to give me a gift. I will take cash. But on July 30th is when Lemoyne Company is going to hand us the keys to our new building. And we have to get ready. And I want to get your hearts ready as we get ready to go into this week of prayer and fasting. So I want to do a little bit of teaching today. Some of this I've done before. Some of it, there's some new stuff in here. But I really want to challenge you. In fact, if I was entitling this message, I would call it a revival cry. And we know what revive means. It means to bring something that was once living, that is now dead, to revive it, to bring it back to life again. That's why you get these services called revival services. It's to revive us, to bring fresh air back into us again. And so we always set aside time at the beginning of the year to do that, a renewal, a revival, to revive us again. And so I want to get our hearts ready for this. And really, it's a revival cry. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in the Bible that I want to dare you to pray. In fact, I don't think you got the guts to pray it. I don't think you got what it takes to pray what I'm about to tell you. It's a good time for you to go, oh yeah, Pastor, you, I got this. I don't think you have what it takes. Oh yeah, okay, well that doesn't sound very good. Well, revive. How many would say our nation needs a revival? Can I get an amen? How many would say St. Landry Parish needs a revival? How many would say Opelousas needs a revival? He needs a revival. Can I just tell you something? Revival is never going to happen out there until it first happens in here. It just doesn't happen. You can pray all you want for revival out there, but till revival takes place in your own heart, that means that we all have a responsibility to tend and care for your own heart. And so I really want to challenge you today, and we're going to look at a prayer that probably one of my favorite Bible characters is, and maybe some of yours too, is David. And I'd like to really do more of a teaching today, really about a time in his life that he was going through a very difficult season of discouragement, and he's going to pray a prayer in the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at that, and I think it would be wise of us, a very dangerous prayer. It's not a safe prayer. It's not a bless me prayer. It's not a protect me. It's not a watch over me prayer. That those are good. This is a very dangerous prayer. It's going to take a lot of guts to pray and mean a prayer like I'm going to give you today. But I really want to challenge you to pray it. And so here's where David's facing. He's got enemies. Any of y'all ever had any enemies? Anybody that would like to see your demise? Would take pleasure in you being knocked down a notch or two? How many of you got someone like that you know? And you go, I've got a few of those. And you go, man, they would love it if get knocked down. David's facing some of those. They're talking. They're speaking. You know how the grapevine works, right? You heard that they heard. Somebody told you what they heard. Somebody said who said they heard from somebody who said that they heard. They said this about you, and you hear it. Let me just make sure you do understand. As a believer, if you're a born-again Christian, if Jesus is living in your heart and you're desiring to please God, can I just say something to you? Satan has no authority over you whatsoever. Zero, nada, none. The only way he gets an opportunity, he has no power over you. The only thing he does have is a voice. He speaks and he says things. Now, we do know by scripture, what does he say? Well, the Bible tells us what he says. That whatever he says, is it true or is it a lie? It's a lie. In fact, the Bible says he's the father of lies and there is no truth in him. So whatever he speaks, it's not true. The only place the devil has authority in your life is when you hear a lie and you believe it to be true, then he's taken ground in your own heart. That's what the enemy uses. He uses lies. And so that's what's happening with David. People are talking. And David is going to go to God with a prayer. And I want you to go to God with the same prayer. That's my challenge to you today. And I want to take you to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. And we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. And I'm going to teach just a little bit today. And here's David's prayer during this season of his life. He says, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And I want to take that same prayer, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And I want to break that down into really four thoughts today as we prepare our hearts for renewal. Number one, David's prayer is Lord, search my heart. Would you say that with me? Lord, search my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Have you ever heard anybody use phrases like this? Well, you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. Or when speaking of someone, you could say, they have a good heart. You ever said that about somebody? That's usually pretty good to say that about somebody. But I want to just show you what the Bible says about our hearts and why David's actually praying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Let me tell you what Jeremiah 17:9 says. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? They have a good heart? Well, that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Deceitful. What do you think of when you hear the word deceitful? Lies. Liars. I don't think anybody would raise their hand if I ask you, how many liars do we have in the room today? Let me see your hand. Okay, how many of you have ever told a lie? How about that one, okay? How many? Okay, the rest of you are lying right now because you've told a lie before. Yeah, none of us would say that we're liars, and maybe we've exaggerated the truth. We've all done that before. I've done that before. I've even done that up here on the platform before, exaggerated the truth a little bit. But I usually tell you before I do it, stretch it a little bit. It's usually hyperbole is what I use. Some of you Google that later, you'll get it. Hyperbole. It means to overdo it so it makes the point. Jesus used hyperbole, so I figured I could too. Anyway, you wouldn't lie, but let me tell you where you lie the most. Let me tell you who you lie to the most. It's not to somebody. You lie the most, and I lie the most to myself. I tell myself I'm okay when I'm not okay. I tell myself I'm good when I'm not good. I tell myself I don't eat too much. I tell myself I'm not really materialistic. I just like nice things. I tell myself I don't have an anger problem. I don't really. I tell myself I don't gossip. I just want to make sure everybody's covered in prayer. Yeah, David's praying, Lord, search my heart, O God. Listen, look right here. He's praying this prayer, Lord, search my heart, O God. Not that God would know what his heart is, so that he would know where his heart was, because it's deceitfully wicked. I so appreciate, many of you know this, that I have a pastor too. My pastor is Pastor Jacob and Michelle Aranza. They serve as mine and Heidi's pastors. I've known Pastor Jacob for over 30 years. He's been a mentor, a coach, a spiritual daddy. and really for the last 18 years, he's been our pastor. You probably don't know this, but Heidi's not here today. How many of you notice when Heidi's not here, I feel a little more freer to tell things that I normally would not? How many of y'all know that? Yeah, she's not here today. She say a prayer for her. We had a rough day yesterday with her knee replacement. We overdid it on Friday, and I knew we did, but anyway. So she said, so baby, stay home today. We want to get her, how many of you want to get her well? Then we'll get her back on. Yeah, so say a prayer for her. She's okay. And so I want y'all to know, there have been probably four times for sure that I remember, maybe five, that Heidi and I have had to go see Pastor Jacob and Michelle because her and I were not seeing eye to eye. That's a nice way of saying we weren't getting along. That's another way to say she was wrong and I was right. Okay, let me give you this. Let me give you the scoreboard. Each time we went, the first three times we went, she was right and I was wrong. And Pastor Jacob and Michelle used as a vessel of the Lord to show me my heart and where I was being selfish when I thought I wasn't being selfish. I thought I was righteous in my position, but they helped me see my heart where I was wrong so I could repent, not only to God, but to repent to Heidi as well. Thank God there have been people in my life who can help me see the wickedness in my own heart. But one of those times, I was right and she was wrong. I just want everybody to know that. And that's the only time I really remember was the time she was wrong. So anyway, how many, sir, that's just what David's praying. Lord, would you just search my heart? Would you search my heart again? Remember, God already knows what your heart looks like. He's not praying that so God will know. He's praying that so who will know? Will you pray that prayer? That's not bless me. That's not protect me. That's not watch over me. That's, Lord, would you show me my heart? Would you be willing, humble enough to allow the Holy Spirit, whether it's through a vessel or himself, to show you your heart? That's what David prayed. Let me give you the second thought. Not only show me your heart, well, I love it when he says this. He goes on to say, search me, O God, and know my heart, but test me and know my what? My anxious thoughts. I'm going to call this, show me my fears. What do you fear the most? I mean, when you think about it, if you're going to start worrying, what are you going to worry about? I'll give you a list. Maybe this will help you. Maybe it's you worry about your marriage. Maybe it's you worry about your children, future. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's finances. Some people, it's even success. It always boggles my mind where people worry about succeeding. They worry about it. Everything's going good. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, it's just too good. I'm worried. I'm worried about this is all going so well. How's your marriage? Great. How's your finances? Good. I'm just worried. I'm waiting for something to go bad. I don't know. I'm worried about it. Worried about intimacy. Worried about rejection. What do you worry about the most? Everybody look right here. Because what you fear the most or worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. Let me say it again. What you worry or fear about the most reveals where you trust God the least. Let me say it again. What you fear the most or worry about the most is where you actually trust God the least. I've shared in detail with you before. I'll just remind you without all the details. I want people to like me. It's a problem I have. It's a fear, a worry. A couple of years ago, I came to this Jesus moment where I was worried whether people liked me or not. I thought it was important. I mean, I want people to like me. I want people to like me. But it was a fear. Did I say something on Sunday that might make somebody mad? And my life coach really helped me. And the Lord used him as an instrument and a vessel to show me something in my life that I was trying to please man instead of trying to please. You will, if you please God, you will not please every man. And so he was helping me. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, just so you'll know that we all wrestle with something. And it says, Jesus spoke to my own heart and said, do you want people to love you or do you want people to love me? He says, if you'll teach people to love me, most will love you. And if you teach them to follow me, then they will be willing to follow you. And that cleared up all of that. But I just want you to see that no matter who you are, all of us have some fears and some anxieties of something that just shows where we're not trusting God. I love what Dr. Ray Williams, who attends our church, said this one day in one of our men's Bible studies. And I thought it was really good, and I'll share it with you today. He said this. He said, 25% of the people are going to like you no matter what. 25% of the people will like you, but can be convinced not to like you. And then there's 25% of the people who won't like you, but can be convinced to like you. And then there's 25% of the people that won't like you no matter what. I thought that was good. Isn't that good? Give Dr. Ray a hand. That's from him. So what am I saying to you? It's okay. Or you go, if you've heard this phrase before, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. And I would say to you, it's okay to have a worry, but it's not okay to keep the worry. You have to give that worry up to somebody else. And my mom and dad are here today, and I'd just like to honor my mother and father. Can y'all stand real quick, mom and dad? They're here. Some of you know who they are. Just stand up. Mamaw and Pepaw. How's it going? Okay, everybody look right here. I identify, if you got a rebellious teenager or you are a rebellious teenager, I identify with you. I gave them hell growing up. I did. I was a selfish butt growing up. I didn't have anything to do with God, none of it. None of it. And they would ground me. I mean, they were good parents. I mean, if I did wrong and I got busted, which I got busted all the time. All the time. I couldn't do anything. If I did something wrong, I was going to get uncovered and caught. I mean, it's just like I always got busted. And they did everything right. They ground me. They take things away. When you were young, they would spank the child, you know, spoil not the child, or spare the rod, spoil the child. They did all that right. And then I can remember the day that everything changed. And it was the day they walked in, they set me down, and they just went, we just wanted to let you know that, here I go, I'm a rebellious teenager. I'm not listening one ear out the other. I think I know better than everybody. And they go, we just wanted to let you know that we've turned you over to God. What do you mean? We're not going to worry about it anymore. We've turned you over to God. I mean, y'all still love me, right? Yes, we love you. But we've turned you over to God. You're God's problem now. I mean, like, what does that mean? You're God's. Talk to him about it. Oh, by the way, we also want to tell you, this household, we will serve the Lord. So you will be at church on Sundays. You will be on time. If you want on time, you don't want to come in on time, or you don't want to go to church on Sundays, you will need to find a new address. We love you. We're praying for you. But we've turned you over to God. And then they dropped the mic and walked out the room. I go, what's that mean? They've turned me over to God. I didn't know this, but my mom had all the church mamas up in our house while I'm gone, praying, anointing the doorpost with oil, my bed with oil. I think they got in my drawers, anointed my oil all over all my clothes, over all my stuff, praying, interceding, praying that God would do what God wanted to do. And I just, it scared the hell out of me that now I had to answer to God instead of answering to them. But they figured out something, that they couldn't change me. And instead of worrying about me, they were going to take this worry that they could not get off of them and going to give it to somebody else who could do something with it because they couldn't do anything with it. And by the way, if you are one of the rebellious teenagers, I get it here. Listen, you're not really rebelling against your mom and dad. You think you are, but you're really not. You're rebelling against something that cannot and will not be moved. His name is God. And you can buck against it all you want, but you're only hurting yourself. And one day, you're going to find out how smart your mom and dad really are. Even though you think they're stupid right now, you're going to find out one day they're really, really smart. And you're going to love them and appreciate them. And I want to honor my mother and father for setting a great example for us, for me. And then I preach the gospel. Don't carry, wherever you're worrying the most is where you're trusting God the least. Give it to God. There have been times in my life, Heidi goes, what are we going to do? I mean, we don't have enough money. And I'd say, baby, listen to me. We put seed in the ground, baby. There ain't a time we've never missed paying our tithes. We give offerings unto the Lord. Listen to me. We got seed in the ground, baby. I ain't worried about money. Jesus already promised us he would take care of us. I ain't never going to worry about money. I've already obeyed the Lord when it comes to my resources and finances. It's his responsibility, not mine. He's got to take care of it. And after 30 years, I can tell you, he always have. I never lost one second of sleep about money, ever. Ever about money. Why? Because I'm going to give it to God. Are you tracking with me? Here's David praying. Show me my heart, Lord. Show me my heart. Show me my anxious thoughts. Because wherever it is, I want to give it to you. I don't want to carry it myself. And then let me give you the third thought today. And then he goes on to pray. Point out anything in me that offends you. It's getting scary now. Point out anything that offends you. Is there anything in me, Lord, that's offending you? Anything. You go, well, I don't know what that could be. I'll help you. What have others been trying to tell you? Husband, what has your wife been trying to tell you? Wife, what has your husband been trying to tell you? What has those close to you been trying to tell you that you've been defensive about or tuned out and didn't want to hear it? Teenager, what have your parents been trying to tell you? What has your teachers been trying to say to you that you keep justifying that you can't? Maybe God is using them as an instrument to speak truth to you. Thank you, Jesus, for Heidi Lynn Reisner. The helpmate that God gave me 30 years ago, he knew exactly what I needed. I don't know if y'all know this about Heidi, but she is not scared. She will not hold anything back. I can remember probably 7 years into ministry, I just preached a well of a sermon on a Sunday. It was really good. And I'm driving home, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and she's there. We're driving home, and I'm waiting for her to tell me how good that really was. Silent. So I broke the ice. So baby, what'd you think about the message today? Waiting for her encouragement. And she says, I just have one question to ask you. Yeah, baby, sure. When are you going to start living that beautiful sermon you just preached? You're right. You're right. Thank you for Heidi Lynn Reisner. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for men like Nicholas Manuel, Danny Jackson, Sam George, Ted Scott. Thank you for Suzette and Dwayne Norman. And I could name others who've spoken the truth to me in love because they loved me. Maybe something I said on a Sunday. Maybe an interaction they had with me that said, Pastor, you, can I pull you aside? That doesn't look good on you. And I don't want anybody to think less of you. That loved me enough to speak the truth to me, to help uncover something that would offend God and might even offend you. I need that. I'm still a work in progress. And you know what defense is, don't you? Oh, no, no. It's simply your ego protecting your heart from God. No, baby, listen to me. So that's all it is. Thank the Lord. I even got a letter some time ago to the office. And it was one of those anonymous letters. And it started out something like this. Dear Pastor Yu, we love you and we love the church. But, and there were bullet points of things they had against me. I'm reading it. That ain't true. That's no. Hey. And then I look down the bottom, they didn't even sign it. I go, well, if they ain't got enough guts to sign it, then I ain't got to have to read it. And I folded it up. Nick Manuel was with me. I said, Nick, read this. I said, is any of that true? He opened it up. No. No. I go, wait. What was the? And he read it to me. He said, Pastor Yu, that's true. You have to get your ego out of the way. Get the ego out of the way so your heart will be open, so that you can receive the truth. It's called humility because you have to be humble to receive the truth. And I'll confess I wasn't until Nick said, it's true. Took my ego out because God loves me. And I don't want to offend him. And I don't want to offend you. Are y'all hearing me this morning? It's a scary prayer to pray. God, is there anything in me that offends you? He may have already been trying to talk to you through those who are closest to you. Yeah. Number four. Would you just lead me? Vic, would you come help me? Nick's helped me. Vic, help me. And number four, would you lead me? Point out anything in me that offends you, Lord, and then just lead me along the path of everlasting life. Would you lead me? This morning, I pulled up to the church grounds on Harry Gilboa, as I do every Sunday morning for about an hour, just to pray, get my mind right before I come in here to speak to you. And the Lord reminded me of a prayer that I have not prayed in a while. I used to pray it every day, and I haven't prayed it in a while. And I just said, thank you, Lord. I'm going to put that back on the repertoire. And it was the prayer of Solomon. You might remember Solomon. He was a young man. And God was going to select him to be the next leader after David. And the Lord came to Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you want? That's a pretty big statement, right? Man, what if God came to you and said, what do you want? I'll do it. And Solomon asked for this. He said, Lord, would you give me wisdom so that I could lead your people well? Would you give me wisdom? And I used to pray that prayer all the time. Lord, give me wisdom so I can lead you well, lead my family well. That's a good prayer, husbands. It's a good prayer. Lord, would you give me wisdom so I could lead my family well? Would you give me wisdom so I could lead my children well? Would you give me wisdom so I could do great at work? Would you give me wisdom? And the Lord answered the prayer and said, because you didn't ask for fame and you didn't ask for wealth, I'm going to give you the wisdom and I'm going to give you the fame and the wealth that you didn't ask for. Woo! How many of you ever prayed that God would give you some wealth? You asked for the wrong thing. Because if he answered the prayer, you'd be broke again right where you're at now because you didn't have the wisdom to handle the wealth that he gave you. Don't ask for the wealth. Ask for the wisdom. If you ask for the wisdom, the wealth and all the other things come along with it. Can I get an amen? So he prayed the prayer, Lord, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom to lead you well. And I want to show you this story out of the New Testament just real quick. The disciples go and pray for a demon-possessed man, for a boy, and they pray for him, and the demon doesn't come out of him. And they go back to Jesus, and they're going to have this conversation with Jesus. How come that devil didn't come out of the boy? We've watched you do it. You prayed and the demon left. How come when we pray, the demon doesn't leave? What's the deal? Watch this. Let me show you this. Disciples came to Jesus in private. They ask, why couldn't we drive out that demon? And look what the next verse says. And he replied, because you have so little what? Little faith is what he called it. And then he says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. A mustard seed is the smallest of seeds. It's little. If I had one in my hand right now, you couldn't see it. So I want you to see this. Because of your little faith, and if you had the faith as small as a mustard seed, something's not working right. Because you have little faith, you couldn't drive it out. But if you had little faith, you would have driven it out. Dr. Scott and I agree that there's a little problem in the translation. That the word little is not in the Greek. It's decreasing faith. Because you have decreasing faith, you couldn't drive it out. But if I tell you, if you have, we're going to use the word increasing faith, you can start with a small mustard seed, but as long as it's increasing, if your faith is increasing, then you can say to that mountain, be moved. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. Stay with me. Stay with me. Faith is never stagnant. You can't grow in faith like you get born again and I'm growing. I went to Grow Track and I'm doing good and I'm learning. I'm serving at the church and I'm doing so good. I'm so good. You know what? I'm going to take a season off right now. And I'm not, you know, I haven't really read my Bible in 3 months. So I still go to church, but I'm just going to just come settling. I'm just been so tired. I'm just going to take a break. You can't just take a break in faith. Faith is either increasing or it's decreasing. Faith is either moving, it's always moving. It just depends on which way it's moving. It's always moving. Your faith is either increasing or decreasing. That's why I don't understand if you've walked with God for 20 years or been saved for 20 years and you worry more now than you've ever worried in your life. It may be a sign that your faith hasn't been increasing. It's been, if you've walked with God for 20 years, please give me a witness up in here, and you've seen the faithfulness of God, there'd be too much that ever bothers you ever again, because you go, I ain't worried about that. Jesus is going to take care of that. I've already seen it. Hey, I've been through the fire. Baby, you're going to come out, you're going to be good on the other side of it. Just keep your head up, baby. It's all good. God's good. That's all he does. He's good. He's good. It's all he does. Good. He's good. Can I get an amen from the congregation? He's good. He's good. He only does good. He always works it out for the best for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I've already walked through all these seasons. Listen, I want you to get your heart ready. We've got 30 weeks. You have a responsibility in this. Well, Pastor, if you preach better. No, it has nothing to do with me preaching. It has everything to do with you falling in love with Jesus. We're giving you some opportunities. You ought to take this. Did I already tell you we're going to read the Bible through, or New Testament through this year? I didn't? Let me tell you what we're going to do. Ready? There's 261 weekdays in the new year coming. 261. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. So we're all jumping on board, all of our Savior's church, to read Monday through Friday a chapter a day and go through the entire New Testament together. And God is going to speak to you in your quiet time. Are you in? How many of you in? Just wave your hand, say, I'm in. Okay, look at me. We all have a responsibility in this. Let's move. Everybody, we need to, because our faith is either increasing or it's decreasing. It's never stagnant. Take the challenge. Get the Bible out and go, we're going to read this through. Yeah, husbands and wives, you can do it together at night before you go to bed. Just one chapter. Take you 5 minutes to go, Lord, speak to us through your word. We're going to read this chapter. Lord, uncover any sin. Get rid of my ego. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He opposes it. We all have a responsibility if we're going to see what I believe God wants to do when the new church doors open. It's going to be a crowning moment in the life of this congregation, and we better be ready. Do you hear me? I'm looking at you. Do you hear me? It's time. Father, we receive your word today. The challenge from your Holy Spirit. We need to be ready. Father, I just pray, search my heart. And now would you search this congregation's heart? Father, take the anxious thoughts that we carry. Father, we learned today, we just got to give those to you. We got to turn that over to you. We can't carry it. You told us not to be worried, not to be anxious, to live each day on its own, not to be worried about tomorrow. Father, uncover anything in us that offends you. We don't want to offend you. We want the smile of God, the favor of the Lord on our life. Father, do away with our ego, the idol that we set up between us and you. Get rid of it. And Father, lead us. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to lead our church well. Give us wisdom to lead our small group well. Give us wisdom to run the nursery well. Give us wisdom to lead our wife well. Give us wisdom to be a better mama, better daddy. We need your wisdom. Father, may we grow in faith with you. Father, that's our prayer. We receive your challenge today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to give you one moment today. Maybe you walked in today and you are far from God. You know it. I don't have to tell you. But I do need to tell you, Jesus really loves you and he's not mad at you. He's not. He came to this earth and lived a sinless life to do one thing, to die and to raise again. Why did he have to die? To pay for our sins. He paid for it. Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom until you've been born again. Go, Pastor, you, how do I get born again? It's not christened, it's not baptized. Those are all good things. You have to be born again. How do I do that? It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned. We've all broken the law of God. We all raised our hand a while ago and said we've all lied before and countless other things. Just admit it. B, believe that Christ came to be the bearer, the penalty payer, to pay for your sin, to pay for your guilt, and pay for your shame. And C, confess him as the Lord. Make him the Lord of your life. Get him on the throne instead of you on the throne. We're going to do it His way. If that's you today and you say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again. I need to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want forgiveness of my sins. I'm ready. I'm ready to go all in. I want to pray for you right now. This is your invitation. No one's looking at me. All I want you to do is lift your hand up high. I want to be born again. Lift it up high right now. Hold it up. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, 10, 11. I see your hand. 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, 19. Congregation, I want us to join our voice with their voice. Could we just pray this with them out loud together? Mean this in faith. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that today? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, please visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.